This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Betty Ann Lawler Wisnowski.
Alison Milden.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, you were born in Palmerston North, but yes. There's a significance where people were born in Palmerston North.
At that time, definitely was significant. I was born in Ross Strata nursing home. It's now blocks of flats. There was another nursing home in Cuba Street, right at the southern end of Cuba Street, and I assume that there was still a facility in the public hospital. But those are the ones I know about.
So why was that significant? I mean, Alison, you knew the names of these places as well, didn't you?
Yes, because I suspect we were born in Ross Strata as well. And then I think Ross Strata became this place called the Maitland Hotel. Was that what it was? Mm. It became some sort of residential place later.
Oh, that's where they've actually built flats.
Yes. Is it in Grey Street?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no, that's the other one. I don't know the name of that one.
Okay.
But Ross Strata was on the corner of Ruaheni Street and Ferguson, I think.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. So, and is the significance the people who were born in one of those places, there's some sort of affinity they have for each other, and somewhere else it's no. So why does everyone remember the name of the? Did they call them nursing homes or there were?
I really don't know.
Yes, because I suppose people now go to the hospital.
Yeah, you go to the maternity ward.
In those days, it was
a dedicated place for.
Yes. I'm affiliated with it in my mind because my nephews were born there, and that was really sometime 20 years later, and it was still operating, but not long after that. All births seemed to take place at the hospital. These private places seem to just close down.
Oh, they were all private, were they? So people would have to pay to go to them
I don't know.
No. Okay. Could they do, if there were complications in the birth, they could handle all that sort of thing?
I'm not sure.
You don't know? No, I suppose it was a bit too early to know. Yeah. So has Palmerston North changed a lot? You grew up in Palmerston North and you've been here most of the time since then?
No, all my life.
The whole time? Mm. Yeah, okay.
And yes, of course, it's changed radically.
Mm.
You only remember the things that you think were pretty good.
Mm.
I remember trees. And it's funny that we were talking about that, but when I used to bike from, we lived in Milson, and I used to bike down to St. Peter's Church, where my parents were affiliated. Mm-hmm. And I remember going around the trees in Rangitiki Street, Ruaheni Street. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're there now. I think they've all gone.
Did they need them to widen the road? Was it narrower there?
I assume that's what they did, but there was a cycle track, the trees, and then the footpath. And so, yes, there was plenty to use up widening it. There are still some trees. Yeah.
Was there continuous development from the centre of Palmerston North out to Milson then, in those days?
Milson was a railway settlement, and it was built specifically to house railway workers.
Mm.
And my father left his home, only son, and he left his home much to the annoyance of his parents. And his home, of course, was the family farm.
Mm.
And as the only boy, it was quite a catastrophic thing to do. He wanted to be an engine driver, which he was. Worked his way from, I think they started out as a cleaner boy and moved up to become a the next step. I've no idea what the
Stoker, something like that.
But he ended his days as locomotive supervisor for this area.
Okay. So was there open country between Milson and Palmerston?
Yes. Once you hit that overbridge, which went over what we called the deviation, which at that stage had not been properly, well, it hadn't been developed at all.
So the train still went through the centre of Palmerston North then?
Yeah. Oh, heck yes. Yeah,
of course.
Very exciting. And our cut-off point seemed to be that bridge. And once you got over that bridge, you were getting amongst the towny stuff. But we were country kids.
There was a big cultural difference, was there? In what way?
Inter-school rivalry. In our case, it was with Terrace End. We didn't have school baths at that point. And so if we were going to swim, we had to go to Terrace End school. And it was a big deal. We were, our Sunday school was provided in the Milson School Hall. And if we were going to church, we had to go down to, in our case, it was St. Peter's. But there were church services taken in the school hall as well. I was Ducks of Milson School way back then. 1940, whatever it was. Might have been 1950 by then. And we went from new entrance through to Form 2, which has probably got another name now.
Oh, is that the same, including intermediate then? Was it a big school?
There were three classes, and not all would have had 30. And no, there wouldn't have been. 60 would have been the big roll number. We had Mr. Henry, who was Chuck Henry, we called him, of course.
Why? He looked like a chicken?
No, it was his name.
Okay.
Just Henry kind of lent itself. Followed by Tom Atwood. And who came after that, I don't know, because I left and went to high school. They were very good years. We were very insular. We were the Milson kids.
Were you all railway kids then?
Pretty much, yes. Yes.
But probably also quite independent.
Oh, yes.
Because you'd have a lot of freedom. As a country, in a way, a country school.
Yes, very much that type of school. My holidays were spent on the family farm. And so I didn't have any particular knowledge of town life or what went on in town, even. And that was Palmerston North over the bridge. Big deal going to town.
How long would it take? You'd go by bike, by car, bus?
We cycled everywhere in those days. And when I was 12, I think, my parents, we'd been in a railway house. They called it the boss's house because I think it was in some way superior to them. I've no idea what the difference was. But my parents bought a property in Featherston Street in Palmerston North, and that was really something. Yeah, it was very different. We cycled everywhere. Or walked. My father owned a car. My mother never learned to drive. If we went out with mother, we walked.
So there weren't buses or...
Oh, yes. Madge buses. Mainly dropping people off at Milson on their way to Fielding.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you use the bus at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. My mother did because she went to town more often than, than we ever did.
Yeah. Now, you said a country school that was quite different from the town school or Terrace End.
Yes.
In what way was it different?
Bigger. The Terrace End was bigger and they had more teachers. They had more facilities.
Yeah.
When I played for the cricket team because we didn't have enough boys to make up a team. I played rugby with the... We all did because we didn't have enough kids.
Yeah.
And so when it came to into competition of any sort, we just didn't have enough kids to make up a decent team. All the infants would be in as well.
So you played rugby and cricket and so on when the school was competing against other schools as well?
I played cricket once against Terrace End, but the other ones were just playground play.
Okay. So did you have things like, what was it, something like a pet and calf day or things like
the
farm?
In the garden, yes. I got a prize for the garden. We certainly had pets. It was calf day.
Oh, calf day, you call it. So what activities?
Do things like decorated saucers.
Yes. The year that the Queen came was my last year there, I think. And we had our gala day, which was a very big event for the whole area. And I won, I can't remember, I stuck flowers in a vase and I couldn't have known terribly much, but I won the prize. And my special prize was I got to go and help the ladies doing the flowers for the Queen's luncheon. I believe she had luncheon.
So that would be 1952-53.
That'd be right.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was a big deal. So I did this little vase of flowers, not knowing anything much about that. And I made sure I placed it in front of where the Queen would be sitting. See my flowers.
And did you also have vegetable animals?
Yes.
Like twisted carrots, etc., and you turn it into some kind of
potato man would be the nearest. We did that.
And calling lambs or
We had those things.
Yeah.
Now my husband was a vet and he judged animals at calf day.
Yes, very difficult.
And I'm thinking, thank goodness he was not fully trained in doing veterinary things back when we did our pet day, calf day thing.
Yeah.
It was very, think of what the children do today in the country schools and preparing their animals. Yeah. We just didn't do all that. We might have given them a cursory wash and a bit of a brush, and that was it.
Well, I think some might be. You could see the difference between the kids who actually had a pet lamb that knew them well and would run up to them, and those that had just been hauled out of the paddock to perform.
The problem, we came from a sheep farm, so lambs were lambs. And so for calf club day, I'd have a lamb, but it was not particularly trained, cleaned. There were some
you didn't
children,
train it.
Some children who would be exceptionally well prepared. I think the best I ever did was one of those green ribbons. Is that for runner-up? No, highly commended, which was actually nothing. It was not first, second, third. Have participated.
That as I saw it looked as if every animal would get two or three ribbons and the grass would get a lot more.
Yes, and a particular family would win all the calf
every year too.
So that's good.
Yes, exciting stuff. So
did you find the transition from country school to town school, and from country living to Featherstone Street. Quite a dramatic
change. It was horrific.
Change.
First of all, we didn't know our neighbours. And that was something that didn't occur in my life until that point. And I think because I was younger, I have a younger brother, and he was scared of the neighbours, mainly because he didn't know them. And a certain amount of that rubbed off on me. And you couldn't just go and say, hello, who are you, at that point. And my mother found it very isolating. She'd left behind everyone she knew. And at that point, my father was the office man, and he was still doing shift work and moving empty carriages and engines around. But he seemed to be less available than he had been when we were at Milson.
So
I don't know why that should be.
In a way, it was an economic rise, but a social difficulty.
I suppose it was, yeah.
Yeah. Did it take long to say, or you'd have been in a much bigger school as well, though, wouldn't you?
So that was heavens above. That was scariest thing I've ever done, was turn up there on the first day. And I had an elder sister, 2 years older than me, who of course was 2 years ahead of me at school. She knew the ropes. I think I walked around for about the first year holding onto a skirt.
So there was no one else from your school who went there at the same time?
No, there wasn't. There were boys, but, goodness sake, you didn't talk to boys. No, there wasn't.
Might be difficult. And your older sister wouldn't have been overly pleased, would she?
Oh, by that time she had her own group of friends, she didn't need me tagging along, but she was fortunately a very kind person. And mostly she put up with me.
But so how about the schooling? Was it very strict, or?
And of course you remember the teachers that you thought were wonderful, and you remember some of the naughty things that you did to the teachers that you thought were not wonderful. And
such as?
We had this teacher, science teacher, and I'm sure he was a very fine man. But in those days, it was still okay to cane. And, of course, at the mixed school, and they did cane. And he had a cane that he kept yay long.
Nearly a metre,
Cane long, yes. And he kept it in a drawer.
Was it thick or thin? Flexible?
It just, to me, looked very like my father's fairy wand, which he had, and that was really just a twig of maybe about a metre.
Your father's fairy wand.
It lived behind a picture, and it draped across the top, and he would say, if you are going to do that, you'll feel my fairy wand. And there was the fairy wand.
Was that
and
a common term?
Yes, it was quite. It turned up, there were five of us, turned up quite often. And I never saw it come down off that picture.
It was sufficient.
But it was I was told if I did that again, I'd use my fairy wand. Well, no, I won't name the teacher, but he had a fairy wand, I guess it was, that he, every now and then, would get it out of this drawer, which was one of the ones that's, this one where you put your maps in, and he'd wave it around and say, this will be next. So on one occasion, he got his fairy wand out ready to wave it at us, and there was a big pink bow tied to the top. Yes.
And he saw it, did he realise straight away?
No, well, he
waved it first.
When he picked it up, of course, the bow was up there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he'd waved it a couple of times, as if to show us all, that he was aware that that's.
Yeah.
But I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yes. So was discipline an issue in school then?
Not to the extent that it appears to be in this day and age. And certainly, the detention thing. The only detention I can remember getting was one the whole class got. And we'd misbehaved at phys ed, and we had to march around the field, or the perimeter of the playing field, for I think it was 10 times or something. Mm-hmm. And so we straggled out and did that.
Mm.
And one of the girls in our class, Margaret, we were all getting along quite, and we had to be quiet, no talking, but we're all giggling anyway. And we were going along quite nicely, we'd become quiet, and suddenly we heard this voice, "Water, water." The whole thing broke up. Detention was over.
So it was quite benevolent oversight at the school.
I think at that point that the teacher who had issued the detention heard the plea. Yeah. And laughed as hard as we did.
You must remember that one. That's a good trick.
Yeah. If it happens to you, yes.
Yeah. So. Next time you're out tramping, that's you can use that one.
My best trick, and I had a good trick, which was not to be asked a question. Although I might know the answer, the nervousness about having to speak up was so huge that I developed a wonderful ploy. So anybody listening to this, if you don't want to be asked a question, blow your nose.
Yes.
So I went right through secondary school,
blowing your
teacher's
nose.
College, university, blowing my nose furiously.
Hay fever, obviously.
So what about the subjects at school?
Well, they were the basic maths, English. I did science. And I did, I just reminded this morning when my visitor was here, of doing commercial practice. Evidently it was going to be very useful in my life. I can't remember ever using it actually, but it could have been.
Commercial practice is what? Writing letters and the accounts?
We did bookkeeping and we did typing and shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
With Miss Craven and Miss Dundas, and they kept us in order.
And you could touch type?
Yes, we could.
Hmm.
We did outside exams with IPSA and Department of Commerce, I think they were called, and I've got one that says my handwriting is okay. Mm-hmm. It must have deteriorated.
Was that the Miss Craven who became women's kind of, what would you call it, two I see at the Teachers College for women, Miss Craven?
Here in town? Mm. Not when I was at Teachers College, she wasn't there. No. Vera Sterling was. Vera Sterling was a Fazella. Yes.
This was 1966, 67.
Hang on while I work out that. 66, 67. I was there in the first year that it was a full college with years 1, 2 and 3. Yeah. Were you there then too?
I was there in 67, 68.
Oh, I can't make that out. I haven't got enough toes.
No. Probably a bit, might have been a bit behind you.
So you went from school to teacher's college?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Why? Was there much choice you had, or you always wanted to be a teacher?
Oh,
or?
No, come on, be real. We could have gone nursing.
Yes.
Or we could have gone teaching. We had a choice.
Or dental nursing.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, Fiona went dental nursing, yes.
What about farmer's wife? I mean, would most people have gone on for that sort of training, or would they just say, no, I'm going to live on a farm for the rest of my life, I won't do anymore? Work in a factory or shop?
That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
So most would carry on study after school for training for something?
Well, like yes, we did, and we could do university work while we were actually at Teachers College.
Yes.
And so that was very convenient. And I never had to leave home because it was all here in town.
So what about boys? I mean, you said those were the only options, but you were talking about study. What about boys? Did boys just, well, some would leave school and go into apprenticeships, or would they just stop school and go on the family farm and work there? Or they'd nearly all go for further education of some kind?
I don't think tertiary education had the importance it now has.
Yeah.
And in this town, we had an excellent technical college. And I look around and see that many of our businesses, the practical people, our electricians and plumbers, had their foundation at that time. They're all retiring now, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, they seem to go on. But
yeah. I'm just trying to draw a comparison, because you were saying that the options you had, sort of teaching and nursing or dental nursing and so on, but for boys, I suppose a lot would go into some sort of apprenticeship.
Mostly. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So mostly. That was the parallel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even the university was really the scholarship kids.
Yes.
So upper sixth scholarship.
Yes. And in fact, at that stage, it would have been an agricultural college anyway, wouldn't it?
Massey would have been an agricultural college.
Yes, no, yes. By my time, it had become part of
the
Wellington
University.
Yes.
Or Victoria University.
Mm.
Then it became separate.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.